We thank you so much for your presence in our midst. We are grateful. We recognize that this is not the sweet, not the battle to the storm, but to whom you show mercy. Wherefore, as we go into your word this evening, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask for fresh mercy, fresh grace to be upon me in sufficient measure to bring a word in season as I duck under the covering and the grace of the fathers of the house. Let your word go out of my mouth like springs of living water to edify us. Let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Spirit to do an internal work in our hearts and life, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten revelation of the word that goes forth, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. Lord, I need on you for grace to redeem your time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Come and have your way, Holy Spirit. Come and glorify the name of Jesus and cause us sons of men to bless and edify it. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Please, can you keep on playing that song in the background? Praise the Lord. My message today is full of grace and truth. It just happens that it just came spontaneously, and I need to speak the truth. Praise the Lord. Full of grace and truth. Let's open our Bible to John chapter 1, verse 14. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering today. John chapter 1, verse 14. I was reading my Bible some time ago, and I read this scripture, and I only saw it in light of what belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we've been taught, everything that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ belongs unto us, apart from going to die on the cross. So anytime we read our Bibles and we see something that the master walked in, are you following me? Then we should believe God that we can also attain to the same. Praise the Lord. Now let's read it. What does it say? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Let's read together. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's say, full of grace and truth. You see, when I read the scripture, Lord spoke to me and said, you too, you need to be full of grace and truth. You know why? I'm getting out of myself, but it's clear from the scripture. If you are not full of grace and truth, you cannot carry the glory at the measure the master carried it. Very important. Nobody can. That's why I said, you see, when he was talking, I wasn't talking about when Christ was born in Bethlehem. No. At that time, you know, he had a measure of grace, but nobody knew. Nobody saw any glory. When he was born outside the inn, nobody. He was just like a baby. Nobody knew anything. Are you following me? But when he kept on growing, and I dare say he was growing in grace, he got to a place where he was full. That means you can be half full, you can be three quarters full, and you can be full. And that's why the Bible says we should make sure that we receive a full reward. The Bible also says in the book of Ephesians, it says that be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means you can be half filled, you can be three quarters full, and it can be full. Are you following me? So the Bible says here that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And that is what God wants us to learn today. It's not a new message, but it's something to encourage us to increase in our growth in humility and also to increase in the measure of truth we walk in. You see, it's very easy for us as Christians, especially in this house, because you have so much knowledge. But see, as you will see from this, as I continue, I'll try and explain by the grace of God. You see, the measure of grace you have must not be too much than the measure of truth you are walking in. I for that, I said full of grace. Didn't say full. Everything must be balanced. Because if it's not balanced, if you have too much truth, and no grace to back it, there'll be a problem. We had knowledge. So we need to balance it. So you must be growing in grace. So because you know it was Paul that said, he said something, he said, lest I be tempted beyond measure. Say, because through the abundance of revelation or truth that I had, say it was allowed a thorn in the flesh to come against me. Why? Because the level of you see, when you start getting revelation knowledge and God starts sharing things with you, it's very easy to get puffed up through knowledge, nonsense like Pastor has taught us. But you see, that is why you must also increase in the measure of grace, which only comes by humility. If you look at it, put it in Philippians chapter 2 in Amplified. The Lord Jesus Christ, his growth was not so much as more of the miracles that he did, but his growth was measured by his growth in humility. He kept on going from top to the earth, and then he went down to the earth. And that must be, even though we are not going under the heart, I follow you. But our growth in Christianity must be measured by our growth in humility. It must not reduce. Are we there? Philippians, yes. It says, let's have this same attitude in yourselves. What version is this? Amplified. So have this same attitude in yourself. Let's go. Have the same attitude in yourself, which is in Christ Jesus. Look to him for your example in selfless humility. Lord, have mercy on me. Anyway, let's keep reading. This doesn't seem to bash on because I can't be some. Next verse says, who although he exists, please, there's a version, not this version. As a version, let me read this. Sorry, I don't want us to waste too much time by the grace of God. It's not going to be a long message, but there is a particular version that explains it, you know, and says, is that the version? No, it's amplified, but that's not the amplified. I'll read it from my Bible. Just a minute. Yeah. Just a minute, please. He was talking about the master. And here we saw his growth. And in his growth process, he wasn't talking about whether I grew more in power, whether I grew more in miracles, you know. But he showed us his growth process. And we're going to see, because the Apostle Peter says something. He said, grow in grace. Philippians chapter 2, I will read. You know, say, do nothing in verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. Say, do nothing from factional motives. You know, true contentiousness, strife, or selfishness, or unworthy end, or prompted by conceit or empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each other regard the others as better and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourself. Now I say, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now verse 5 says, let this same attitude, it's a mindset. Are you following me? That you now follow with action and prayer. Say, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Say, let him be your example in humility. Verse 6 says, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born, apostate. He says he was the same with God. Then he humbled himself. The first stage was to remove every godly attribute that he had. Then he became a man. That means he came lower. Are you following me? Then after that, now he says in verse 18, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled. That word abased is very strong. And humbled himself still further. And carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Extreme obedience. Our obedience must be extreme. In line with the will of God. What are we saying? You see, you can see logic. That's why he said, when he was talking to the disciples, he said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. I follow me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. I follow me. So what is it? That's the state, that's the step that he took. And that is the same pathway that we must take. Why? So that we can also carry the same glory. The degree to which we are filled with the grace and the truth of God will determine the measure of the spirit that measure will carry, or if we carry it at all. Because you see, like mommy normally prays, we need finishing grace. It takes the fullness of grace to carry the fullness of the anointing. It takes grace to carry it. Praise the Lord. So I put it there in my mind. I said, God wants us to be full of grace and truth, like Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can carry the same glory that I carry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Just to put the scripture behind it. That is the only way we can carry it. I can read it. It says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have no doubt about the fact that God wants us to carry the same glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, if we don't attain unto that same level of grace, which comes by humility, and that same level of truth, we can never. But we will by the grace of God and justice. That's why you can, in natural, I do observe things. You know, when you see people talk, our people sing at times, you can know, say, the grace on this person is more. You can observe. You don't need to. And you can see grace fluctuate. You can see this. When this person handles this particular song, there's no measure of grace. When this person does it, there seems to be no. That means the grace upon that. I'm not Christian. No, I didn't mention anybody's name. It's in every other thing that we do in the body of Christ. You can look at this person and say, ah, there's grace on this person's life. Ah. And then you have people that have different graces in different areas. Even to pray. Some people have some grace to pray a particular phase of prayer. That is the thing. So you just give it to him. Are you following? But God wants us to be full of grace. Praise the Lord. So what is grace? Like Pastor defined, it is the unmerited favor of God. It is the unmerited favor of God that causes God to give us a measure of life in our spirits based on the sacrifice and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unmerited. Nobody paid for it. Christ paid for it. That's what makes God to give us a measure. Say a measure of life or eternal life inside our spirits. Grace is given to Christians. Are you following me? And it's going to our spirits, especially for us to labor, to do whatever God has called us to. That's why no man can boast. We cannot boast. You see, when you can stand and shout grace, grace, grace to any mountain, any problem. You see, it is not the shouting of grace that gets the job done, but the heart from which the grace is coming. Because grace will always give life. I follow him. So it's not the shouting of grace, grace, if you are facing a challenge. But the heart, the amount of life that comes out, that grace gives. You know, I don't have time to run the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe. It says that husbands should dwell with their wives according to knowledge, because you are inheritors of the grace of life. So grace gives life. Let's say grace gives life. We all know that. Praise the Lord. So, and it's the Holy Spirit that injects that life. You see why it is very important as I continue. It is the Spirit of God that gives life. That Bible talks about the Spirit of grace. I follow him. So, and in my meditation on the word, I found out, no, it's not I found out, but it just became clear to me, that humility is threefold. Firstly, to God, to your peers, and those under you. So, no matter where you are, it must be firstly to God, then to your peers, and those under you. Are you following me? That's why you find out, I'm just getting out of my face, give an example about Moses. The Bible says there was a time in Moses' life that was the meekest man on the earth. But towards the end, something happened to his heart. And he began to equate himself with God. And we know what happened. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Let's put the scripture behind that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 6, just to support it with scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I say, yea, all of you be what? Subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Next verse. Say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. So you see, it's to God, to your peers, and to those under you. And like we define, it is humility, and you get grace by walking in humility. And the degree of grace you get is determined by the submission to God, to your peers. I follow those above you, in authority over you, your peers, and those under you. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that God gave unto everybody the measure of grace. God is not partial. When they gave it, God born again, he gave us the same measure of grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, we start with the same measure. You know, just as we open that with it, it says, but unto every one of us, without exception, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So my brother, my sister, what have you done with the measure of grace that God has given unto you? Because a noble man is going to come back and ask everybody to give an account. That was the old story when he said he came and he gave his servants 10 talents. One each. One came and said, I've made 10. Say, well done. You rule over 10 cities. You see, because at the end of it, that is why if God should give at the beginning more grace to somebody than another person, they will be unjust. That means there will be some people that he has favored more than some other people. Then I can stand for God and say, but you gave him more than you gave me. No. God gives everybody the same measure of grace, the same measure of love. Said God has shared his love abroad in the heart. The same measure of life he gives to everybody. Now, to the degree to which you use that grace, or you increase in humility, to summarize, will determine whether you are filled with grace or not. We all be filled with grace in Jesus' name. So that is that. And let's put James chapter 4, verse 6 to help us to see. Because when you read that scripture about Jesus Christ, how can you be full of grace? But James says that, but he giveth more grace. that about it. But to give it more grace. So that means you can have more and more and more and more of it. It's God that gives it. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at truth. What is truth? We look at truth at two levels. We look at truth at the level of honesty of heart. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 15, verse 2, when it's talking about this, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Is there he that speaketh the truth in his heart always? It says, he that walketh uprightly, he that walketh uprightly, and walketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Brethren, we have an option to be honest. This is what is known as honesty of heart. You know, he speaketh the truth in his heart always, all the time. Even when nobody knows, even when nobody can see, because this is why I said this, you know, it's because I was envious. Oh, it's because of greed between you and God, and nobody else knows. He said, always, all the time. Or else, if we don't practice this, what we'll be doing is what the others did in Romans chapter 1. He said, they hold the truth in unrighteousness, that they suppress it. God nudges them, and all he expects from us is to acknowledge the truth. Lord, it is true. I got angry. I should have said those words. And Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Between you and God. But when we justify, it doesn't matter. Does he know so and so? What nonsense is that? Then you hold the truth in unrighteousness. But you see, the other side is the Bible says, if you say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. So it's not so much as making a mistake, but acknowledging it, cleansing with the blood, so that the truth can take effect. That is one aspect of truth we are looking at. The second aspect is at the level of meditation and the practice of God's word, which is very important. Jesus Christ says in the book of John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. He said, thy word is truth. That's John 17, 17. So we look at truth at the level of meditation in the word and practice in the word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, in all, let's read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. That is, you see, this is another aspect of the word of God that we cannot live. It's not enough to speak the truth in our heart. That's why unbelievers can walk in honesty of heart. They may not have a scripture to back it. Some will say, this thing is not good. But see, we must now begin to allow the word of God to dwell in us, which is truth from John chapter 17, verse 17, to dwell in our hearts richly, because that is the basis for right to know what is right or wrong. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, truth is falling in the streets. That's why we need the word of God to dwell in our hearts richly. That's why meditation comes in. You meditate on the word. More tight to yourselves. Are you following me? And then apart from that, they now begin to practice. That is truth at the second level. Praise the Lord. We have already mentioned John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. That truth is what sets you apart from things that are not true or false. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. This is what Lord Jesus Christ was talking. We all know this. But he answered when he was replying Satan. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This is what I want us to see. But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we must have an understanding of the word of God. Not just the New Testament, the Old Testament. That's the only way that you can balance your truth. That's why I said, let your word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, when the devil came to me, I know the story, and I was trying to make him do what he shouldn't do. He spoke the truth back to him, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Assuming he didn't know the scripture, he could have said, it was a still small voice that spoke to me. That there are sometimes that you hear a voice, you must have made that mistake before. That's why anytime I want to make a decision, especially if it's a fundamental decision, we are advised to submit to mature spiritual oversight. So you can tell, this is not God. I said, but something spoke to me. No, I know you heard a voice. But based on scripture, they can now say, okay, you give you scripture and scripture. Even if you don't understand it, are you following me? It's good to submit. Praise the Lord. So that is Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And Master said in John chapter 8, we don't have to turn there, 31, he said that the truth as you know shall set you free. It is the truth that we know that will ultimately set us free. So he says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, that's the practice of his word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So God wants us to be totally free of everything that is false and is not real. Praise the Lord. So like I said earlier on, I said God wants us to grow, both in grace and in truth. Let's say together, we must grow in grace and in what? Truth. You know why? As I was thinking about it, we're going to see now, just not a long message, I should give us some examples. If I mentioned it just in passing earlier on, there's a balance. It is grace that balances the truth. I follow me. If you keep on growing in terms of having more knowledge and the truth, you can crown the Bible, you can quote the Bible. If you don't have the grace, you will not be able to use that truth properly. You can't process it. You can't use it. You cannot. You will not be able to practice it. You see, because Paul says something. He said, I've labored more than they, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see, grace of God is what, in fact, in everything you do for Jesus Christ, it is by grace. Or else you will boast. Even your finances, the Bible says, it says that God is able to make all grace to abound towards you, because you have all sufficiency, all things, you know. And that means if you're not humble enough, at that regard, you will not have enough grace to meet all your needs. So grace is about everything that a master does, so that no man can boast. That is why the Pharisee, he went to Jesus Christ by his works. He knew the scriptures and everything. And yet he missed it. And the other publican that smote his apostle, he went to more justified. So we need grace. I said that we need the word of God. But it must be balanced. I follow me. If you say, okay, it's grace alone. If you don't have sufficient grace, you can't act on the word. You wouldn't even know what to do. Praise the Lord. So look at the example. Look at Saul. We all know the story of Saul. You see, like I said, we all start with the same measure of grace. Saul too started with that same measure of grace, although he wasn't given grace in his spirit. But you understand what I'm saying as we look at this. Let's go to the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22. You see, Saul came from a rich family. His parents were rich, if you compare him to David. Yes, Kish's father. And they were going to make him king. I know this story. When he met Samuel, and Samuel, when he was looking for a father's assist, and after they told him he was going to be king, he said, okay, meet me at so-and-so time. And I will anoint you and all that. To summarize, to paraphrase. Then when it was time for Saul to come out, are you following me? He went and hid himself. Even the master said, when they call you to a feast, said, don't sit in front. Said, sit at the back. He went be extra man and he hid himself in the stuff. So they had to go and look for him. That was the state of his heart when he began. That was why God chose him. That was why God picked him. You see, many people think that, okay, Saul is not God's choice. No. It was God's choice, because at that time, that was the best that God could find in Israel. Oh, God would be unjust to give them, because he told them, he said, someone said, don't worry, I'll pray for you. God said, don't worry, it's going to be fine, I'll pray for you. But along, why would God pick Saul when he knows that Saul cannot make it? It is contrary to the character of God. Why would God pick Judas if he knows that Judas is going to die and go to hell? No. It was Judas that made that choice. So what does he say? Say, therefore, inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. That was the state of Saul's heart when he began his walk with God. He had the same measure of grace. Let's move to verse 27. Once something happened, then after they made him king, you know the story. Some, the Bible says, sons of Belial came. He said, how can this guy? He said, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and bought him no presents, but he held his peace. As the Bible says that, talking about Jesus Christ, he had that character. He said, a man despised. That is, he didn't look the path. Apart from the fact that he came from the background, he didn't look the path. So how can you, of all people, you can bring this one to come and this one can now deliver us. So he wasn't dressed like a king, or he didn't have the Bible say he didn't have any comeliness that should desire him. That was the state of Saul's heart. But you look what I want us is this. When they now came to him and when the people said that thing, I said, like, this guy cannot save us. So what nonsense is he trying to do? They were rude to him. But Bible says that word, he held his peace. He didn't say anything. Well, what did he say? Somewhere down the line, I didn't write it here. If you somewhere down the line, after he went to go and fight, defend the people of Beth Shemesh, and after he won the battle, Then some of these people that came to him and said, look, let's go and deal with these people that said that you can't rule over us. And I told them, no, he said, this is not a deal for fights. He said, God has delivered us, so don't let's fight. So he said, so at that point, he was still able to increase in the humility of himself. So more grace was given. Because if he didn't go in grace from the time he was anointed king, he could not have won that battle. I follow him. So he won the battle. But the Bible says that after 2 years, something happened. He started depreciating. The level of humility started dropping. You see, there is something, brethren, that comes with power, anointing, money, which if you don't take it to yourself, it takes a conscious effort and exercise. You see, because we don't talk about Solomon today, because when those things begin to happen, you find out that, let me just summarize that, Lord Jesus Christ, make sure you increase in humility. Make sure you increase in humility. So if your yes sir before was one, just giving a literal example, when something comes and God blesses you more, increase your yes sir to two. Just walk in the opposite direction. Just keep on. Are you following me? Don't say, before you know it, a senior person will be talking to you and you will sit down. Are you following me? So, but God will not be a portion of yourself. So, he said something, you find it. Okay, says, no. There's a place where after I won and defended this blood of Bethshemesh, and then they came and said, look, 1 Samuel 11, verse what? 12 to 13. 1 Samuel 11, 12 to 13. Let's read. The same Saul. And people said unto Samuel, who is it that shall... Who is it that said that Saul shall not reign over us? Bring the men, and we will put them to death. Next verse. See what Saul said. And Saul said, I shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Look, why are you disturbing? What is he saying? He's saying that, look, I'm not the one that won the battle, it's God. That's what he was trying to say. Now, at this time, he was still able to increase or maintain what he had. Now, after 2 years, it's so unfortunate. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible says, after 2 years, what happened? It says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, what did he do? Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereunto 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. What happened? What happened to Samuel? He shifted. You see, that is, he now started having confidence in what he had. He now chose people and said, okay, before he would go and meet Samuel, Samuel said, okay, this is what you do. But after this, I said, look, now we have the wealth, we have the money, we have the resources. I mean, Samuel has anointed me. Now resources have come. He may justify himself and say, I just don't want to disturb you. That's why I just took the decision myself. No. You see, when you start making decisions that are vital, I'm not saying you can't make decisions yourself. I'm not talking about when you want to eat rice and beans. Like, go and ask, do you have rice and beans? That's what I'm talking about. That is foolishness. What I'm talking about, when you have to make vital decisions in your life, critical decisions in your life, are you following me? Especially that have to do with the kingdom. You don't take the law into your hands. You ask. But at this time, because he was king over Israel, are you following me? If he had called, gotten a servant for himself to serve him food in the house, it would not have been wrong. But you are supposed to defend the people of God, and God has put somebody over you who is Samuel. So it was wrong. And this took place. The Bible specifically said, after 1 year and 2 years, this is what he did. That is, he shifted. That was the same problem that David had when he said, go and number the people. He shifted from God. And Joab was saying, oh God, why do you want to do this thing for God's sake? Can you imagine when David was fighting in those days, 600 men. He lost none of them. 600 men. Now when he got to the throne, he assumed that, okay, let me go and count. Okay, it's because of this number of people. Bible says, God is not limited to save by many or by few. He forgot that scripture. That's how he got into trouble. So, let's move to verse 8. 8. 8. And he tarried 7 days. He was supposed to make his sacrifice. That was, Samuel was the one that was supposed to make that sacrifice. Are you following me? Then he took it upon himself. And he tarried 7 days. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. You see, there's a prophetic, I don't want to go into it because now the essence of this message, but in the seventh day, from Adam. And we are the set time. We need to wait. I for the appointed time. We must not do something. Are you following me? That God has not called us to do. We must wait for Samuel to come. Very, very important. We must wait in this seventh day for the appointed time. There will be a time that Samuel will come. So here Samuel tarried. Who is the type of Christ? Let's keep moving on. Verse 9. I don't want to move into that direction by the grace of God. And Samuel and Saul said, bring either a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Next verse. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel, a type of Christ, came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Next verse. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together to meet. Listen, folks, what is God telling us? You see, we are waiting for the master to come. But we must not get ourselves involved in what the master has not said we should do in order to hold down the people. If they want to go, let them go. We are not doing anything until Samuel comes. You see, a lot of people have preached this message. Are you following me? After some time, when the crowd starts standing out, then they started starting programs that God did not tell them to do. You see, you are going to find out that as they continue, the master will come. And what do you ask them? That, who told you to do this? That's why our motives must be pure in ministry. It's not about getting a crowd of people. The master kept on saying, do you want to go back? Do you want to go back? It's not the crowd. It's obedience to the will of God. So that is why Saul did what he said. The crowd started going. They were not coming to church again. They were not interested. And he said, okay, let me do this. So maybe if I do this, I'll keep them together. No! This crowd still went ahead and it cost him his destiny. Because what did he say? Philistines said, next verse. Said, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I've made no mere supplication unto the Lord, and I fast myself. If therefore, that's why I offered the burnt offering. Next verse, what did Samuel say? And Samuel said to Saul, you know, he didn't speak to the congregation that were going away. You see, God always goes to the person in authority, like he told Adam. He said, thou hast done foolishly and has not kept what? The commandment of the Lord. You see, if you had waited and had done nothing, are you following me? And if the people had gone, are you following me? Nothing would have happened. God would have honored him. You see, the people are going to go anyway. The bread and multitude, the bread and fish, they're going to go. That's what the master was saying. Look, why didn't you just let them go? Because if you don't let them go, when this thing hits, they're going to misbehave. They'll put you in trouble like they did for Moses. Moses begged and said, God, don't kill them. Don't kill them. Don't kill them. God said, okay. What if they had allowed God to kill them? No. You're laughing. He said, God said, move away. Let me destroy them. And say, God, please don't destroy them. Because if you destroy them, they will. Okay, he said, okay. So God moved back. Fast forward 40 years later, or 30 something years later. The same people were the ones that made Moses to speak unadvisedly with his tongue. To provoke the spirit. That's why you see this race we are in. We admonish, we encourage. But see, whoever wants to go. That's for the master. The door is always open. You can go. Please come. Please don't go. Please, you can beg. But see, at the end of the day, the person jumps the fence outside, let him go. Praise the Lord. So, and the command said, for you have disobeyed the command of the Lord. And he said, for the Lord would have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So that mistake he made affected his children. What's his name? Jonathan, Abishua. Said, if that's a simple mistake, we will not make that mistake. That's not the message for today. Let me get back to what we're talking about. So, after reigning 2 years, okay, verse, let's do 1 Samuel 14. Let's open to 14 now. 14:37. You see, you know what we're trying to say is this. You see, in our Christian walk, it is not over until it is over. We need to know that. So what I was saying, here, you find that, you see, when you begin to see some things happen in your circumstances, which is what I'm going to point to now. This is what happened. So he now came to a place, as he continued, God was not talking to me again. Oh dear, Kotifura. Let me be honest with you. Anytime I pray and I read my Bible, and I don't get anything for a period of time. I've done something. Something is wrong. I don't deceive myself. I say, okay, I walked yesterday, you know, so we went to bed late. Or I get up in the morning and I start praying. Maybe, you know, you wake up and then you are trying to pray. Maybe you wake up 12 midnight, 12 to 1. You start the first phase. They are drawing life. You slept. And you continue like that. It's 7 a.m. in the morning. I keep on sleeping. Something is wrong, brother. Grace has been withdrawn. And I begin to check myself. God, what have I done? Please help me, show me. Now look at oversight. What have I done? My attitude to them. Especially, we're going to see that in a minute. That's my experience. I will not lie to you. I check my heart. I say, you know why? Everything I'm sharing, they taught me. I didn't teach myself. What God does is God just changes the titles when I come to preach. Very simple. You may not know. God just changes his title. Then I'll go and grab the weekly man. So I check that. And I check my wife. A lot of times we quarrel, and this thing will just, I'll just swallow my pride on it. I'm very sorry. Yes, it's happened to me before. I don't want to waste time on it. It's happened to me before. I was trying to get a message. I kept on and on and on and on and on and on until the morning, nothing came. Then I knew what happened. And she wasn't around. Then I called her. I said, honey, this is 6 o'clock in the morning. Service will start by 9 o'clock. Please, let us pray. Forgive me. I'm serious. She knows. I called her. She wasn't around. She was in America. I said, please forgive me. The immediately we prayed and went back. Instantly, bam! Bam! The thing just came. By the time I got here, mommy called me. I just said that she just gave me a word and was like, I said, yes, thank you. Let's move on. So, what happened to Samuel here? Saul. He said, and Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go after the Philistines without deliver them into my hand or the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. So anytime you begin to read your Bible, anytime you begin to do something that God has called you to do, you will know, I know. You will know in your heart that something is, if I'm preaching and I'm struggling, I know. You will know. Kidney is not flowing. Then you begin to go and check the first to God, oversight, your peers, those under you. It's very simple. Praise the Lord. So God did not answer him. But instead of Saul to run back and ask for mercy, he did not. And let's go on. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13. We're just looking at Samuel. Look at the negative example first. What does he say? And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have affirmed the commandment of the Lord. Next verse. Verse 17. Let's stop verse 17 because of time. That was when God said, you go and kill all the Amalekites. And Samuel said, when thou was little, say, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Lord anointed the king over Israel? You see, there's something about a humble heart. I've seen people, read about them. You can be so, let me put it this way, let me just summarize. You see, for every one of us, there is 7,000 that are hidden in the cave. For every Christian, there is 7,000 that is hidden somewhere. So the day that you say, no, I'm the only one, or no, and you feel arrogant, you see, that moment God begins to move them. He begins to move them. He begins to move them. He begins to move them. The day you step out like this, then God will go and pick someone like David. He may not be educated. He may not even know how to speak good English, not eloquence. Then he will bring him to replace you. I give him the grace more than what you had to let you know that it's not about you. It's about the grace of God and the work of God continuing. I've seen it happen all the time. So when I remember, you need to remember. When I remember, and it's time to come and pray, and something is saying that, oh, they take care easy. I recognize that it's the devil. And I also remember there are 7,000 that are hidden somewhere here that I don't know them. Praise the Lord. So verse 17 says that, said, wow, so there was a time that Saul was born inside. Now let's look at Paul. I don't want to take too much time today. Let's look at Paul. Paul too came from an educated man, as we all know, a Pharisee of Pharisees. I follow me. He knew so much. He knew the scriptures. He knew everything. In fact, that must have been what hindered him from getting born again initially, until God knocked him off his horse. Because although he had an honest heart. I follow me. And now comes Paul, to summarize. He moves from list of apostles, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. He said, I was a list of apostles. That's where I started from. That is, me too, I'm an apostle. I'm least. I follow him. He says, for I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Let's move to verse, read verse 10. Let's see verse 10 because we may not get to there again. Say, now I attribute the reason. Say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So he recognized that, look, it's not about me. It is the grace of God that was with him. So, but here it says, the list of apostles. Ephesians 3:8, he has moved from the list of apostles to the list of saints. When he said that, what he was saying is this, that is among the saints, among all the churches that was over, he was the least amongst them. That is why he says one in the book of Corinthians. He said that it is as if we are apostles are appointed unto, I can't remember. And they said, we are dying and you are living. Us calling of the world. He said, we are happy that you are blessed. Every good leader, every good leadership should be happy when those under him are blessed. I follow. So he said, so where he says, I'm the least of saints. That is the least of saints in Ephesus, least of saints in Corinthian church, in all the churches. That is where he's moved, said less than. That means the guy kept growing in humility. Then the final thing he said, we all know, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. When he was talking about his term, he said, I was the chief of sinners. He calls him chief of sinners. Obviously, he said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he kept on growing in humility. He kept on growing in humility. That's why I can say I've finished my course. Look at the same Paul that said, John Mark should go away. I don't want to see you again. Same Paul said, after growing, he said, please go and bring him. At least what he's saying is, I can endure. I can endure. Say, love endures long. I can endure all the guy's infirmities. And the guy came back to write the book of Mark. Brethren, I was thinking some time ago, just take a bit of a detour. It was Apostle Peter that dictated the book of Mark to John Mark. Apostle Peter was married. Yes. That's why Jesus Christ healed his mother-in-law. What happened to his children? Nobody can be under Jesus Christ's ministry and be barren. Food for thought. What happened to the Apostle Peter's children? Why did they write it? That's another message for another day. But he brought that guy back. You know why? Because he will have answered to God at the level of his love work. If he had not helped that guy. That's why you see the progression in his life. When Philemon, that guy, when he wrote to about Onesimus, the guy stole. If at the time he sent John Mark, it was when he met Paul. Paul would have disciplined him. I must say we don't discipline people. But he had grown. And he took that guy. Said, I can see something in you that maybe Philemon does not see. And he got the guy born again. And he said, go back to him. That's the same measure of mercy and grace we enjoy under the house. I can say it. It's not a question of just, it's not flattery. When you say love is forbearing and long suffering. Why? That people can grow. That people can grow. That people can grow. People can grow and grow and grow. There's space. There's room for growth. Praise the Lord. So the last example we'll look at before we close is Lord Jesus Christ himself. Luke chapter 2 verse 40. Like I said, nobody starts with the full measure. It didn't start with the full measure. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That was when he was about 12 years old. Now let's move forward to verse 47. This was when he stayed back in the temple and he had so much truth in him. But at that time, the truth had to be balanced with grace. That's what I'm trying to say. And All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I mean, he knew the Bible, he knew truth. Are you following me? Next verse. But the grace level had to meet up with the truth level. And when they saw him, they were amazed. Father said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt? Father and I have sought thee sorrowing. God's truth was already going too fast. Next verse. How is it that you sought me? Which you not? And they understood not what his name was. Next verse. He was subject unto them, but his manner kept his unto them. So what is the consequence of this? Next verse. And Jesus was increased in wisdom, which comes from grace, through humility, and stature, and in favor with God and men. That means if he did not go down, he will not increase. So that's what I'm trying to say. You see, your truth level and your grace level must be balanced. I'll mention Paul as an example. We mentioned earlier on. He said, through the abundance of revelations given unto me, that was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And he went to meet God and said, look, God, take this thing away from me. The master's response was that, look, my grace is of that. This, your truth level is very good. Fine. You are working so much revelation, but you need some grace to balance. So you need more grace. When he says the grace is not sufficient, that means he needs more. That's why he said you must be full of grace and truth. You must not be full of truth and less grace. Praise the Lord. So why is this message very important? I have 2 points or three. As it is when we are full of grace and truth that we can carry the same glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more grace and truth that we have or we carry, we determine the amount of the borrowed anointing we can carry. Very, very important. We may not be full of grace today. But you see, when the spirit of that measure hits and it comes upon the fathers of the house, the degree to which you are walking in truth or you are level of grace and truth to carry, determine the measure of that borrowed anointing you carry. So it's as you grow more in grace and truth, you will increase more and more until you get your own. Praise the Lord. Then the other thing I put here is the second one is that God wants us to be full and grace so that we can speak the truth in love so we may grow thereby. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15. The main point is to be able to carry the spirit without measure. Either the broad anointing or in the fullness as you grow in grace and truth. Now, the second thing is this. Say, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, let me link it to some scriptures. Because when you start speaking God's word or talking to people, even not God's word, there should be a measure of grace that accompanies the truth you speak. Luke chapter 4 verse 22. Luke chapter 4 verse 22. Say, and all, talking about this, and all bearing witness and wondered at the word, gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? I must confess, as many times I go back after pastor ministers, among ministers, I say, God, I have a big problem. Gracrietic for you. I tell myself, it too. I say, pastor, come, mommy, come. This is so, I don't know, I can say it. My gra is too much. I run around too much. Pastor will come and will say something. Pastor ministered a message the other day about love, chastening, and rebuke. If I had handled that message, I'll kill half of the people. Yeah, because the life in which I will see is that love, chastening, you know, 2 thirds shall be cut off. But when he ministered the thing, I listened to the message. I say, God, the exact way God will minister it. I could get the sense. And it's a question of growth in love. Since when mommy comes and shares the scripture. But that's why I said, God, when am I going to be able to get to this level that I will be able to say these same scriptures, even though they are truth. But I somehow feel like I butcher people at times. And I tell my wife, I see. I ask my wife. I go and say, honey, I can't see me. Where would you? I'm being honest. And I'm not after that. But God, this is just the end. Let me just. So we have people to look forward to. I said, his words were gracious that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this is Joseph's son? That is, he had so much anointing. And as we're coming out, what it means that he was full of life. That you can correct somebody and the person will not be under guilt or condemnation. But the person can weep and cry. But say, godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's how you know. Or you can correct somebody in the same thing and the person will feel, this is my end. There is no way for me. I'm not going about the same thing. Lord, you had this for Peter. But it has to do with the heart. The measure of grace you carry. Praise the Lord. So let me move on. And then the last point I have here is that this aspect of grace and truth, because we are supposed to speak the truth in love, and it's done by how gracious our words are, is that it also increases the level of our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That is very important. The Bible calls us with the spirit of grace. Called the spirit of grace and supplication. So when we don't balance our growth level and truth level is not balanced. May you have more truth than grace. Are you following me? It grieves him. Because you're not going to use it. You're not going to use that truth with sufficient grace. And won't get the desired effect. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 11. What does it say? 22 verse 11. What does it say? He says that he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. I'm about to talk about the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. So when your words are becoming more and more gracious, you find that the Holy Spirit can rely on you. Let me put it this way, it begins to move closer. Are you following me? Like a Jordan. It begins to come down, wants to find a place to rest. I already mentioned, I said, there's another scripture I think I'll mention. Hebrews chapter. Okay, I mentioned it. You know, Bible calls the Holy Spirit, spirit of grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 as we close. Talking about the Holy Spirit, you are going to see the connection now. Say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So we're talking about when you are speaking. Definitely, a corrupt communication can never be gracious. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. Next verse. Let's see what it says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the Lord. Link those two verses. Because Paul was talking continuously. That is, if the measure of grace on the word you speak to people is it's not good enough, it grieves the Holy Spirit. So you can't experience his presence. I follow me. It does not, when you're speaking, does not edify people. I follow me. When you're correcting, that correction does not edify. And let me give you a similar example. What flashes my mind? I was going to talk about the how now. You will make you understand it better. You can have two doctors or surgeons that want to perform an operation. One can do it so skillfully. I follow me. And it will sew up the place. And it will be so neat. But can I see somebody, he will do the same thing. But it can take an extra pound of flesh that I wasn't supposed to take. Some people even forget the whatever inside people and they sew it up. That's what I'm trying to say. One does his own skillfully, you know, or if not, people give injections at times. Some people will give an injection, you won't even know they've given you. Some nurses, some people will give you, know they have given you. Because 2 days after, you are still doing like this. That's what I'm trying to talk about. The same word, it comes out graciously from somebody's lips. The same word, no difference. Does has some effects, but God now has to try and heal that person. Praise the Lord. So how do we increase? Or how do we become full of grace and truth? Very simple. We increase in humility through the constant practice and submission of God's will. When we don't feel like it, especially when we add fasting and praying. We all know. That's why I didn't take time to talk about how we get grace. We all know. Grace comes, Bible says, give it more grace to the humble. So I've defined our level of humility in submission to the will of God when we don't feel like it. So we have to increase in the measure of humility. We keep going down in our humility. We keep going down. Like Pastor said over and over, you are invited to a place. You know you're supposed to sit there, go to the back. Even when they're saying, please come, you know you want to come. Your friend is saying, go. You're saying, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Say, are you following me? Your flesh is not going to agree with you. Say, but it's okay, please, don't worry, I'm okay. I'm fine. Are you following me? So we have to increase by submission. And then we couple with fasting and praying. You know, the Bible says that I chasten my soul with fasting. See, because the sin nature is the root of pride. It will never submit. So it will always rise up. So as long as you have that measure of a sin nature in your soul, be watchful. That's why you have to pray. And then is that measure of grace. Then the second aspect, when I talked about submission, we see, I mentioned in the past, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. As when Paul was talking to the Philippian church, a whole church. Philippians 1, 7. Not in Amplify. Put it in. Yeah, it says, let's read that. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have what? I have you all in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Let's together. You are all partakers of my grace. Very important. Everyone under any particular leadership should be partaking of that grace and can have more of that grace. If you are under an evangelist, you can partake of that grace. Under this ministry, we are under an apostolic and apostolic and prophetic ministry. Everybody has access to this at different measures. If you don't have this, then check level of humility and submission to them. Because that's how you get grace. It says submit. It says the younger, submit to the elder. So when you practice 1 Peter chapter 5, you have more grace. When the submission drops, the grace will drop in your heart. When the submission increases, the grace will increase. This is how God has designed it. Under anybody's covering you have, you are supposed to partake of that grace. Anywhere. Anywhere. Some people are looking at me. Anywhere. Anywhere. So once you move out of that place, this thing will drop. Mommy prays saying something. She says that, how can you be under Kamaruru? She doesn't say that. She says that, how can you be in a place as water and you are dry? That's what she's saying. Heart. Heart. So the last point I have is, I would just say, is that measure in the grace that we receive, that I also mentioned it, that will help us to practice the love of God and then also our prayer life. Not that you can pray for 10 hours. Grace, sufficient grace. You just be praying all night, you're just awake. And then people say, I thought you traveled from Lagos. Yes, sufficient grace. I must say, we don't rest. But on days that our attitude is wrong, the same one face, like I said earlier on, you start from, I don't care, start from 6 o'clock in the evening, one face, you find yourself waking up, sleeping, until you end up, you jump from one fourth watch to the second watch, you're trying to pay one face. So you can understand now as I close, why Peter, James, and John slept. That's why. The grace was available for them to pray. Or else, why would the master say, pray, watch and pray with me? But something wrong with the attitude. Bible didn't say it, but that's why. The Bible says that you must not receive the grace of God in vain. The Bible says that even when the grace of God comes, you can frustrate the grace of God. The grace of the master was upon them based on this scripture. But they slept. But God in his mercy extended another hand of grace to bring them back. And he said, go and tell my disciples son Peter. So what are we saying as we bow to the Lord and talk? God wants us to be full of grace and truth so we can carry more and more of the measure of the Spirit of God. Are you following me? Until we are full of grace and truth that cannot carry the full measure of the Spirit, that measure. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Mercy, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to God. It's not a new message. It's something we heard over and over again. But I believe that God wants us to bring ourselves in remembrance of his things. So let's sing that same song that you rounded up with the worship. On bended knees we come. Let's stand up to our feet and pray.
Bended knees we come.
With a humble heart.
With a humble heart we come.
Bowing down.
Bowing down.
Before
your holy throne.
Let's
lift up our hands unto the Lord in surrender.
Lifting holy hands to you.
Lord, we pledge our love.
Lord, we pledge our love
anew.
We worship you.
We worship you
in spirit.
Oh Lord, we worship.
We worship you in truth.
Please make our lives,
a holy praise unto you.
On bended knees, let's sing one more time.
On bended knees,
on bended knees we come.
With a humble heart,
with a humble
we come. Bowing down,
bowing down,
bowing down
before your holy throne.
Lifting holy hands,
lifting
Respond to the Lord as one hand on our hearts and raise the other one to heaven. The scripture, I believe God just quickened in my heart. I didn't read it. When Peter was writing up his epistle, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So God wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is actually the word of God, the truth. Just because I said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we must grow in both of them at the same time. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want me to be full of grace and truth so that I can carry the same glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace under the covering of said spiritual Father to practice humility of heart by submitting my will to the will of God, especially when I don't feel like it. And also to use this measure of grace to practice truth, even the word of God, as I speak the truth in love, until I'm full of grace and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you so much for your message.